Amen. But Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the man that stands before us today. We thank you, Lord, that you've moved in his life and that you've prepared him and you've molded him, you've shaped him, you've empowered him, you've equipped him. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you for the example that he has been to this local body. And Father, we pray right now a blessing upon him as he prepares to minister your holy word. We pray, Father, that he would bring it forth under the anointing of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That he would bring it forth and that we would receive it and accept it and understand that is the word of God that is coming into our hearts to change us, to challenge us. Father, move upon him, move upon us. Use these words today to build your body and to strengthen us. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor John asked me about 6 months ago, it's been about a month, right, to speak on love. And of course, he asked me after he had just done 2 weeks of speaking on love. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go run and just copy little excerpts from his messages and just play audio for you guys. So you would get the benefit of a good teaching. So. But anyway, no, I had to come up with something on my own because he wouldn't let me do that anyway. But so what the Lord led me to is extending love beyond love's borders. Every one of us has a limit on love. Our limits, we need to kind of understand those limits in ourselves. We need to understand where are we when it comes to being like Christ, to providing the same kind of love that he gave to us. Before we can discuss extending love beyond our capacity, we need to understand where we are individually in relationship to love. So the question I have is, how deep do you think you can love? Is there anyone looking around in this church that you feel that you can't love? But the thing is that if indeed there isn't anybody that you can not feel love for today, just wait. They'll eventually walk through those doors. Because our personalities dictate the way, and our past dictates the way we love people. So how do we interpret love? Well, I'd like to say that we should be able to do it by looking at ourselves to understand that question. But unfortunately, because of our fallen nature, our interpretation is skewed by the imperfect love that has been given to us, and also by our experiences and those things that we perceive. So we are limited in our ability to love sometimes based on our history, our family. Our expression of love comes from our experience in life. So, for example, if you are a certain personality, right? And the person sitting next to you is a certain personality. If those personalities don't clash, do you think maybe you could love them first? I mean, if they clash, do you think you can love them first? It'd be very difficult because we judge people based on our own interpretation. We judge everybody that we meet, usually within the first 30 seconds, whether we like them or not. And God has commanded us not to move in that kind of perspective, but move into the fact that, hey, the first thing we do is love them. Sometimes many of us have been hurt too many times. We've been hurt by family. We've been hurt by other people that we thought we loved and thought that loved us. So our love perspective gets very skewed by those impressions that were made upon us by people who really didn't love us. They said they did, but they didn't. You may have an abusive mother or father. And the reason I'm going through these things is because if we're going to get beyond this thing of loving somebody else, beyond our capacity, we need to know and understand our own capacity, what inhibits us from actually providing love greater than where we want to take it. So if you've had an abusive mother or father, usually we have a difficult time trusting anyone. You know, as a parent, you know, it's our job to continue to deliver an understanding of love to our children. That doesn't happen in today's society, does it? How many of us can say that we could have gotten a little more love when we were a child? You know, some of you have gotten plenty of love, and I'm not saying that every parent is terrible, but you know, there's also too much love. Sometimes you can give everything to somebody in the act of love and not make them responsible for anything. So sometimes our children can be raised up loving, being loved too much, if you can believe that, because we didn't really restrict anything that they wanted in their life. So what happens with them? They expect everybody to deliver, right? They don't want to have to do anything on their own. Everything is coming in, nothing's going out. And that's not the way of God. And mostly, most of us are restricted giving love by how much love is coming in. So if you're not getting it, you're not giving it. How many could probably raise their hand to that? I mean, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. But, you know, Alicia was up here sharing her heart on the things with her dad. You know, that's a great example of compassion that Christ will put in your heart for somebody that you didn't think you could forgive. Somebody that you didn't think would be able to move forward with. And the idea here is that when we forgive, when we let love be our first emotion, then people get changed too, not just us. But we get peace in our hearts, we get peace in our lives by allowing love to be the expression first. That's not easy. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying the process as a Christian is to move forward in the things that God really wants to do in your life. What he wants you to do is to build a relationship with him. So you can see the ability to love is limited by each individual's needs and wants. As long as you have flesh, you're always going to have expectations of others. So you can't criticize yourself for your failures to do what God wants all the time. You just need to keep moving forward. You need to allow yourself to be forgiven for the failures and ask for forgiveness for the failures, because we will fail. It's just that we need to be able to change these expectations in our own thing. See, the devil is playing mind games with us. He doesn't need to be active in your mind right now, but he can be and will be if he needs to, if he has a specific goal, if you allow him. But the truth is that the devil did his job with the beginning of man. He set man to consider himself over God, right? He teased Adam and Eve to believe that they could be like God to eat the fruit. So, you know, he's always been messing with man's relationship from the beginning, between ourselves and between God and him. So if you think he's not working today, or that he's not effective, or that his past deeds are not effective, take a look at what's going on around us. God is becoming less. The world is becoming more itself. It wants to focus on self, and it cannot move forward without the help of God. So we're the only resource for them, right? We are the only people that is going to be able to touch them. And so we have to be more like Christ. He will always make us look at our rights, our wants, ourselves, and have us accusing and blaming anyone that tries to take them away. Now, if you look at today, what is going on? Everybody wants the right to do what they want to do. everything going on around you today, if you read the newspaper, we're allowing people to live in their sin. Now, you know what? God allows us to live in our sin, right? We are here, and yet we're sinners. But the trouble is that we're not going to effectively change them by telling them what they can't do. Because even if we lock them out of doing what they're going to do, the sinful nature will automatically find its way back to doing what it doesn't want to be told to do. So the only way that we're going to truly affect people is by, and it's not by taking away their toys, because they'll just find a new toy, right? It's by getting and changing ourselves enough so that we can be effective in changing their perspective on self. Because when we're, as Christians, our big opportunity in changing ourselves is then being there to be able to change someone else. So what is that? What about our need for love? You know, God put the need for love in us because when he created us, he knew this emotion would eventually bind us to him. If we could actually find God's love and express love to God, that would be the connection that he needs so that he could communicate with us. So while the need for love was given to us by God, our flesh nature first seeks it by its own desires. You know, you're born, right? Everything that you do is a me, me, me situation. You're a child. You need to be fed. You need to be loved. You need to be hugged. You need whatever you need, you need. So everything starts with our need for love. If we, in turn, you know, are raised by our parents the way God wants us to be raised, by teaching our children to love God first, then our children will learn as they grow up how to love God, because that's our first priority, getting our children connected with God. Because most of us here came from imperfect families, and some of us weren't even raised in a Christian family. So therefore, we were never raised up with God's love. We have to learn it now. And if you consider the fact that you have to learn how to love after you've been mistaught how to love, or how you've taught yourself, you know, it's like anything else. If you're a basketball player, you teach yourself. But if you have, or a golfer, you teach yourself how to golf. You're obviously, through that whole course of learning how to golf, you probably have done some things wrong until somebody perfect who can teach you the perfect way changes that swing. The same thing with love. You know, you become imperfect in your love until the perfect love is shown to you, and that's only through Christ. You know, there's the thing I wanted to mention is that our definition of love is corrupted by our flesh's interpretation, which I just explained. But because God is love, without him, love gets watered down and misrepresented. I mean, how many of us have been in a faulty marriage or had marriages that have fallen apart and we couldn't recover from it? There's many of divorces out there that people have, you know, totally thought that they had the right connection with somebody, but because our interpretation of love is something different than what God meant it to be, we fell for whoever it was for the wrong reasons. And that's the way we do everything in life. Love is a special gift that God has given us, but we will misinterpret that love if we haven't been given the correct way to do it. And Alicia, when she shared today, I mean, that blessed me, because it shows me, and I see this in this church more so than not, that people are growing out of their own comfort zones to love people beyond their capacity. Amen? And that's something that we constantly need to do. You know, there's a song. I was going to attempt to sing this. I don't know if I should. There's a song, it's called "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." says, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of. Here's the deal. We do dream of love, and we do dream of having the most perfect love. We look, unfortunately, in the wrong places, and we're looking, and in this song kind of depicts it perfectly. You have somebody that goes out looking for love in somebody else's eyes coming at them, not somebody going out looking to give love. You know, and that's the difference in God's love versus our love. I mean, this has been this way since the beginning of man, looking for fulfillment through other people rather than looking for fulfillment through God. Amen. When love begins this way, without God, love becomes about recognition. It becomes about infatuation, desire, sex, and fantasy. I mean, if you look at, you know, I've been to concerts, and I was just appalled at, I should say appalled, at the time I wasn't saved, so I was amazed at how many people just ran and were telling the singers and the bands how much they loved them and all this kind of stuff. I remember one time when I was a kid and the Beatles were a big thing. I was working in a five and dime store, they called them back then, right? For those who can remember. But there was, all of a sudden, the Beatles came on the radio, and this one girl working with me, she practically fainted just from hearing them. So it's like, you know, it's we can see that, you know, we need to be infatuated by things. We get infatuated by things, and we need love. And sometimes so badly that we will choose whatever inkling of it comes our way. And yet God has the perfect love. But the problem is when love begins that way, and I mentioned earlier, it becomes very difficult to change it. Because, you know, when you create an idol in your heart, or you create something that you think you need, the desire becomes more than the reality, and you just continually search the desire. You know, the only way you can overcome this false love that you're searching for is to learn to love more than you need. And that's what took Christ to the cross. We are made in God's image. God made us in his own image, and he put his spirit in us so that he could communicate with us. That's our connection to God, the spirit that he put in us. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." Amen. So his spirit is our ability to understand God and to understand God's perfect love. The closest we can get to understand God's love is our best imperfect reflection of it. Unless you've learned, like Alicia, to jump beyond that border and love beyond it. For each of us, this expression of imperfect love is different. It can be a child, expression towards a parent. It can be a spouse, a friend, or as I mentioned earlier, an idol. My probably the best example for most people who love their children is a child. Who wouldn't do whatever they needed to do to save their child? Who wouldn't give their life? In our imperfect love, to protect a child from harm or sacrifice ourselves for them. And yet, in God's perfect love, that's exactly what Christ did. Christ sacrificed himself for you. You are his child. You are his children. And you are the apple of his eye. He's looking for that return. And even though we can't see him like we can our own child, and you know, sometimes we're just like our children. We give them all the love in the world, but they always still say, I want more. And sometimes we get to a position where, you know, we find that Christ, we accept the fact that Christ loves us, but we always get to this position, well, what can you do for me now, Lord? We become somewhat like the Jews in the desert. Every day God would bless them with food and water, and every day they would complain that they wanted to go back into captivity. We need to stop looking to go back into captivity. Amen. You know, earlier I said that love binds us to God, but love is what binds God to us. God created us out of love. In Romans 5:8, and actually it's actually what sent Jesus to the cross. It was his commitment because of his love for us that sent him to be tortured, to suffer, and to die for us. And Romans 5:8, it says, but here is how God has chosen his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we are going to take our love outside of our own capacity, beyond our own borders, we need to validate his suffering. We need to validate what he did for us. We must be connected with Christ in order to understand God's love. That suffering cannot go without our recognition. Because if we don't recognize the gift that he has given us, then we won't be changed. It's because of Jesus that we get to understand what God is all about. Because when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he sends the Holy Spirit for clarification and understanding. And if we don't receive the Holy Spirit, then we can only do, everything that we do will be a struggle. It will be in our own flesh. It will be with our own understanding. Isn't that what men are doing today? They're reinterpreting the world from the way God made it to the way man wants it. And we will be one of the numbers joining the other side if we cannot validate Jesus Christ's death for us, if it doesn't get validated in our own heart. You know, one thing I like about this church is that, and I even mentioned this in the last meeting, is that I hear nothing but the truth, which is already validated by what Christ has spoke to me, what the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. Everything, and I may have a different perspective on some things, but that doesn't change the basic truth. The basic truth is that Christ died for us, and that we need to be more open, more giving, and more understanding of each other. And that's not an easy thing to do. In order to be connected with Christ, you know, you won't get this by just reading the Word. But seeking to know God while reading the Word is where you will find it. And if I can clarify that, it's just understanding, reading words is reading words, right? When you're reading the Bible can speak to you right away. But if you read the Bible and try to interpret it from your own understanding, you will fail. Because the Holy Spirit has to deliver. It was the Holy Spirit that put those words in the men who wrote it, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings that out so that you can understand it. When we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you are here, it is because the Holy Spirit has pricked your curiosity to know more. There's not anyone in here that didn't come in these doors that God has not already touched, because you are here to know what is going on with Jesus. What is this Jesus? Who is he? What did he do? What did he really do for me? How can I understand what he did for me? That's why people walk through the church doors. Many times they're needy. They need something. That's fine. You know what? Whatever it is you need, our purpose is to try to fulfill it, and hopefully at that same time, fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you were invited by someone that loves God enough to invite you to learn more. That's who we need to be. We need to be that person that loves another person enough to give them what we've received. You know, Satan's always going to be fighting against us. We read the word to understand it. We try to do what it says, but we become frustrated by our inability to change things around us. But also, a lot of times, we're also frustrated by our inability to change ourselves. You know, we have to have grace on ourselves. We need to learn to love ourselves. Even Scripture says that. You know, when we're doing the wrong thing, Satan is either going to blame someone else so that we will accuse, or he will point to ourselves and tell us how much of a failure we are, so we're condemned. In both cases, we're wrong. Because God never did tell us that we should condemn ourselves for our failures. He is always there to look. We're always there to find what Christ really means. And we can't do that if we're constantly condemning ourselves. I talk to brothers and sisters in here all the time, and it's very difficult sometimes because they don't understand, and maybe going back to that childhood thing, they don't understand the grace and mercy and love of God because we always compare it to the lack of grace, mercy, and love that we receive around us. We think that if our dad didn't love us, then God can't love us. If our parents didn't love us, God can't love us. If our friends don't love us, you know. And we create situations, and friends are human beings, and they will not give you the love that you need. But as Christians, if we get offended, we are still charged by God to give love. In Mark 12:31, it says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. So you must be able to love yourself, or you won't be able to love your neighbor. And I'm going to tell you, because if you hate yourself, there's no way that that love can come out. You can express it however you want, but the truth is that you have to feel it. You have to feel love. If you will accept God's love for you, then that is the beginning of your ability to love yourself. So you need to really understand what it is that God is saying about the love he has. You know, you can go through Scripture and you can see all the wrath of God in different areas, but that is not necessarily negated, but it is replaced by Christ's love for us and his death on the cross. God is asking us to take a greater leap of faith into love. While you will not always operate in the feeling of love, you must feel God's love in order to operate in it. Now, I want to state that is something that, you know, sometimes I have done things out of love that I didn't feel, but it was because God had already shown me his love that I could do it for somebody else. I could operate without that feeling, and that's where God will take you, that you will operate in love even when the feeling is not there. If you cannot feel love, then you are either the walking dead or the dead dead. Let's just face it. I mean, you know, God said that I am love, and we need, if we want our salvation, we need to love. In Matthew 5:43-44, it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecuted you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Love your enemies and pray for those who torture you. That's what Christ did. Christ was our example, and everything that we do, we try to emulate that. Two verses down, it says in Matthew 5:46-47, it says, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that?" So we want, what God is telling us is that we need to increase our love. But increasing love is a journey. It's not an instantaneous thing. We're not going to learn to love people that we have a hard time loving until we actually get closer to God to understand that love for us. We all have obstacles to overcome: insecurity, pride, lack of self-control, etc. But all of these can be overcome through our connection and relationship with Christ. This is a daily task, by the way. Not something that you do this week, next month, this year. It is something that we have to do daily. Because, like anything else, if we don't connect with God, the idea of loving God will fade. And a good example of that is that, you know, for many of us, maybe we've had someone who has passed. The pain of that passing, for some of us, still may be very strong. But as time goes, I know that when my mother died, I was very, very unhappy and I cried. But as time has passed, not that I've forgotten my mother, but the pain is not as, or the emotion is not as strong. The same thing happens if you neglect God for any period of time. That emotion is going to wane. And before you know it, you know, all the things that I was telling you about the world and the way the world wants to operate, you know, you're going to start to take a side, one or the other. You'll fade into a place where you are kind of ambivalent. You're just kind of, hey, I could go this way or that way on that subject, when the Bible is clearly telling you that this is the way God wants it. And so we need to be careful that we don't let that emotion fade. We need, if you don't have it, you need to develop it. Because loving God is everything and should be everything to us. It should be our first choice every single day. It will help us love our family and our friends and our neighbors and our enemies more. Because that's exactly what Christ did. We must make the choice. Choosing to love every single day. In a situation where you have failed to express love to someone else, you need to make the choice. But the first thing is to choose to love God. And then the only way you're really going to understand that is if you understand how much God loves you. And you have, that's when it, you take it back to the cross and you understand that that suffering and death really does mean anything, as I mentioned earlier. We can't love without our own strength. It has to come from a different place. We need to accept the higher call in our life. If we're calling ourselves a Christians, we need to step it up. And we need to challenge ourselves to do what God wants us to do. We can't do anything without love. And so therefore, again, we need to get back there and focus on that understanding. Love is the source of all obedience. This scripture always makes me examine myself. It's Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles, and in your name give sermons on Sunday, and in your name, you know. But he said, get away from me, you evildoers. You know what? I don't want to think that I'm serving the way God wants me to serve. I want to know that I'm serving the way God wants me to serve. God knows, by the way, I don't know, we fool ourselves. We go and we do things that we know are not right, and we think nobody knows. But everything that we do in our heart that has not been forgiven is imprinted on our heart when we go before our Maker. God knows everything. So what you think you're hiding is not hidden. And I only tell you this because we need to realize that if we're going to say we love God, we need to come out from underneath of the hidden places in our life. We need to change those, make the choice to come out and change that in our life. God knows we cannot hide nor do things in secret without His knowledge. And I'd like to, I'm going to give you one scripture here in closing. Love, Lord gives us the confidence and purpose. In Philippians 1:6, He says, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day Christ Jesus." So as we grow in Christ's love, we do with it what is only natural, what he does, what Christ does. We extend it, we spread it, and share it, all because he first loved us. I know I discussed a lot of things that hold us back, but I hope this encourages you to see that we need to get beyond Satan's schemes to be able to love beyond our own capacity. You need to examine ourselves. Understand where you lack in your ability to love. You need to ask that question regularly. Who can't I love today? And Lord, show me how I can. That love comes from knowing Christ. I remember one time that I had an issue with a brother in the church. And as I was praying to release that issue, God showed me how much he loved him. And it broke my heart to realize that I was holding this against him and didn't even say anything to him. So it can change you, just as Alicia was changed by forgiving her dad. Expand yourself, understand your lack of ability to love, communicate with God through His Holy Spirit. Make a choice to expand your ability, not just for others, but for yourself. Let's get rid of our low self-esteem and build our esteem in Christ. Do not accept the lies about who someone else or even yourself say about who you are. Let's start getting the truth from Christ Himself, from God, the Holy Spirit. Let's get rid of our pride and anger and self-centeredness. And in all things, let's start making love our first choice. Amen? Amen. Can the prayer team come up? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you have poured into this church, the truth that you've given to this church, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that this truth and the act of love, Father, can just permeate this body, that it can change lives, that it can move and motivate us, Father, to do things that even our flesh doesn't want to do. Father, I pray that we can battle against the enemy's lies, not accept those things, Father God, that he tries to tell us that we are, and oppose, Father. I pray that we just accept who you say we are, that you bless us with a clear understanding of your love for us, and Father, that we can share it to all who walk through these doors. In Jesus' name, amen.